Mark chapter 9. We do. All right. Take a look at Mark, and we're going to pick it up in chapter 8, starting at verse 34, because I want to kind of set the tone for jumping into to Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. So we'll back up just a little bit for context, and kind of the title of the message today is Wishing We Could Stay on the Mountain with Jesus. You guys ever have mountaintop experiences with Jesus before and with the Lord? Just like those spiritual markers where you just were there and you were just saying, man, it couldn't be any better than this. You know, I just wish I could stay here. I really do. I wish I could just stay here. Well, I got some news for you. If you're in Christ, one of these days you're going to get to stay there, okay? It's called heaven, and that's what heaven's going to be like forever and ever and ever and ever. Even better than your best mountaintop experience with Jesus. But you know, the disciples were able to have a mountaintop experience with Jesus. Only some of them. They didn't all get to go up on the mountain. And that's kind of part, a point that we're going to make as well. They had their own mountaintop experiences. All of them did in some way, shape, or form. But on this particular time, this is a really special moment. But I want us to understand something. There's kind of a prerequisite for this type of an experience. And we go back to verse 34 of chapter 8, and I think we can kind of see. It says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's a very important statement. And he goes on in verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. And he goes on to expound on that a little bit more about how the physical body isn't really the thing here. And what's more important is eternity. Do I get an amen on that? Okay, so the thing of it is, guys, if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, then Jesus says you got to lay it down. In fact, not only that, we've got to pick up our cross, and we've got to follow after him. What does the cross represent? It represents death, right? We've got to die to ourselves, our desires, our flesh, all those things that used to take first place in comforting my me little world. I have got to lay that on the altar to follow Christ. So the decision needs to be made to follow Christ. And once we make that decision, once that life is surrendered, there's no turning back at that point. It sounds ominous, but I'm saying it with a smile. Because I'm going to tell you, praise God, there's no turning back. Because I'm going to tell you, all things are new at that point. It's called being born again. There's got to be the death of the old life so we can be born again. You know, we were born once into this earth as a little baby. And all, you know, needy and helpless. Guys, I'm going to tell you, the second birth isn't any different. Once you give up your life to follow Christ, we begin to realize just how needy we really are. We need Him for everything. And once we get to that point, I'm just going to tell you, there's no turning back. And God, you begin to realize, as we move on to the next thought, as we kind of are going to jump into chapter 9, we begin to realize at that point that God has an individual plan for you, for me. Individual plan. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought He had a big general plan for everybody. But I started realizing, not only does He have this big general plan for everybody, but He's got an individual plan for every last one of us. And it wasn't until I was willing to lay my life down so that I could become a Christian that I began to realize how awesome this plan really can be. And it's going to call for sacrifice at times, right? It's going to call for us to continue to realize this isn't about me. My life is hidden in Christ now. But I'm going to tell you, God's got a good plan for each one of you. And He wants to carry that plan out. Now, it's a matter of us getting in agreement with Him so that we can walk together with Him, because He's got a good plan. And in fact, He had a good plan for these disciples at this time, and that's where he speaks to them at this point. After saying, guys, you got to lay it down to follow me. Now, once you have, he said to them, assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Doesn't that just really sound awesome to you today? When we see all this nonsense going on in the world, and man, I'll just tell you, there's been a lot of nonsense this year, hasn't there? Yeah, I'm not even going to go off on COVID. Let's just forget about that one. I'm tired of having COVID talks. How about the rest of you guys? I'm getting tired of hearing about this thing. Let's talk about something else. So we'll talk about an election. How's that? No, you're tired of hearing about that too, aren't you? What I'm saying, guys, it's really a good thought to think about God's kingdom come, God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that a good thought? And so he's talking to these guys, and he's saying, I'm going to tell you guys, there's some of you that are standing here today that are going to get to see the kingdom of God present with power. Man, what an awesome thought. Well, I got some better news for you. For everybody who is truly a Christian, that you truly have given your life to Christ, you truly have the Holy Spirit living in you, you're definitely going to get to see the kingdom of God someday. But I can say that if we're really fully committed and we're walking with God, you'll get to see glimpses of it even earlier than when you pass on into eternity. You'll begin to get, God will give you vision, and He will share these special times with you. And that's what we're going to call the mountaintop experiences. I want you to know that just like He has this individual plan for you, He has this individual plan for me, that His plan for you is not just a one-size-fits-all plan. Okay? Now, I want to say, I'm cautious in saying this, because a lot of times people go way out with this thought. Okay? Now, your plan that God has for you, your individual plan that is not like maybe the same one that the way it would look for me, it will still be biblical. Do I get an amen? The Bible is still our guide. God doesn't do things against His Word in my life. Okay? He's always going to work within the confines of His Word. His Word is still truth, and it's truth for everyone, and it's absolute truth. Okay? Let's have an amen at that moment. This is absolute truth. Our world is rejecting absolute truth today, and we're gonna destroy ourselves if we don't get back to this thought that there is an absolute truth. God is that absolute truth, and His Word is absolute truth. And so within that structure, yeah, it's all going to look somewhat the same. But when we get into His personalized will for my life that's within that biblical context, His will for me can look a little bit different than His will for Steve or for Ben or for another person in this room. He doesn't call everybody to the exact same positions. He doesn't call everybody necessarily to go to the exact same places, but He does call all of us to some area of service in His kingdom. Okay, so in that respect, we all have some calling in that. But what I want you to see, the reason why I'm being real specific on this, is we'll even notice right here, how many disciples did Jesus have? He basically had the 12 that were part of His inner circle, right? Now, I want you to notice, after 6 days, Jesus took 3, Peter, James, and John, and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. He didn't take all 12. And sometimes people get the feelings hurt whenever we begin to realize this other person seems to be called to some area that maybe I'm not so much feeling so called to. And we a lot of times want to hang on to them. And we want to say, no, you need to do the same thing I'm doing. You need to feel the same way I'm feeling right now. Or we could be feeling left behind, so to speak. Like, how come I'm not feeling that way? How come this isn't happening to me? How come in my calling I've still got this or that? Here's the deal, guys. We've got to let God work in each person's life in a personal way. And now He took these 3 up on this high mountain apart by themselves, and He was transfigured before them. Man, I'm just going to say, guys, I've had these mountaintop experiences, and it's the most amazing thing whenever God reveals a little bit about Himself to you personally. Can I get an amen on that? Have you ever had that moment? Like, it may be reading the Bible. It could be just like experiencing this new scripture in a really new way, and it just blows you away. I mean, you're just like, man, I wish everybody was here, and I wish I could stay here. But like, we want to remember that God has a purpose in what He's doing. He had a purpose why He took these three men up there. He was going to have an extended purpose for them, that this was going to be very significant in their life, okay? He had a purpose why He wanted them to be able to see Him in this moment, and let's see what this moment looks like. As we see that Peter, James, and John were with Him right there, God's going to take us up on a mountain with Him in different ways. And what He did before them right here in verse 3, His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth could have ever made them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Now we see this same event in three different Gospels. They're called the Synoptic Gospels. They're similar. And we see other little details. And in Luke, as we look in Luke of this happening, it says that Elijah and Moses were talking to Him about the things that were going to happen to Him. They were preparing Jesus for the cross. They were encouraging Jesus for what He had ahead of Him. The cross was going to be hard. Do I get an amen? It was going to be so hard that right before Jesus went, He went to the garden and He prayed, Father, if this cup can pass by me, if there's any other way, but not my will, Your will be done. You just think about that God sent these heavenly messengers to Him. Do you guys know anything special about Elijah? What was special about Elijah? Now, he was a prophet. He was taken up into heaven. He didn't have to die like all the rest of us. Right? There's only a couple people that this is ever said of in the Bible, but Elijah got to go up into heaven and like in a whirlwind. And he got to pass on his gift to Elisha with a double portion. It was an amazing thing the way he left. God had a special purpose still that He was going to bring Elijah back. Do you know anything special about Moses? After Moses died, he was chosen for a very special purpose to lead the people of Israel throughout the wilderness to the Promised Land. He didn't actually get to go into the Promised Land with them because he had committed a sin of anger, of wrath. Okay? And so for that reason, he didn't actually get to go in then, but I always think he got to come now. At this moment, you know what? He's in the Promised Land and he's right there with Jesus. But there was something very significant about Moses. Whenever it came time for Moses to die, it says he went up on the mountain with God. And God took care of his body. Very interesting. No one knew where Moses' body was laid. Nobody knew where he was buried. Nobody could make an idol out of it and worship it and all that stuff. God took care of Moses, and God still had a purpose for both of these godly men, even from heaven, to send them back to comfort Jesus and prepare Jesus for this time. Now, he also had a purpose for Peter, James, and John for the future. You see, God's experience in their life right now that we're reading about was actually for future events. It was to encourage them as well for the future. Whatever kind of experience God has you in right now, whatever kind of mountaintop experience you may have had, I want you to remember that God is doing it in a special way to prepare you for some special event He has for you as well. It's really important that we understand that. It's not about just this moment that we're in. That's why we can't always just stay there on the mountain with Him, because God actually is preparing us for something better, bigger, more important than just that moment. So they were talking with Jesus. And I'll tell you what, whenever we have an experience like that, we're all probably going to feel the same. We're going to wish we could stay with Him. Do I get an amen on that? Yeah. And so they were up there on that mountain. If only we could stay there with Him. If only we could stay in that moment. Man, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to stay in that perfect moment then? And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. It is good to be in this moment. I'm going to tell you, Peter, he was pretty much one of those type A guys. He just went in and stepped out with it. And he steps out and he says, good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, three dwelling places, three shelters. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he didn't know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. I mean, it's scary when we get in the presence of God and we're feeling that close to him because, man, he's powerful. He's awesome. He's mighty. But he's also personal and loving. And it scares us to be that close. But, man, we want to stay. And that's where he was. Let us just stay. Let us just stay. But you see, God had something he was preparing them for. And God is using these times to prepare us for what lies ahead. That's really what we need to understand about these mountaintop experiences. You want to understand that about your struggles too, folks. Your struggles are preparing you for something that lies ahead too. They're divine instruments in God's hands doing his surgery on us. He is a perfect surgeon. And he's working on us through our struggles, through our mountaintop experiences. He's working on us for what lies ahead. And a cloud came in this moment and overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Listen to what he says next. Hear him. You know, guys, I'm going to tell you, listening and hearing are kind of different. You know what I'm saying? He wanted them to recognize and do what his son said. Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus and themselves. Guys, I'm going to tell you, you need to realize we got a lot of voices in our lives, but you need to make sure it boils down to you and Jesus. You need to make sure you're really hearing from Jesus. You need to spend time just you and him. You can be in the moment, and the moment can be overwhelming, and you may even want to stay there, but what you need to make sure you're doing is taking special note of what Jesus has to say to you. You need to listen to Jesus. You need to hear him so that you can put it in practice in your life. And I'll tell you guys, you may need to write it down. You may need to take special note of what God's saying to you because you don't want to forget it. You don't want to forget it because you're going to go through those valleys. You're going to go through those hard times. But man, you're going to need to hang on to that moment. I'm going to tell you something, guys. You read church history and you're going to find out it wasn't easy on Peter. In fact, Peter was going to deny Christ just not too long after all this. And he was going to have to be forgiven and reinstated. But after that, I'm going to tell you, he was going to have to live for Christ in a very hostile environment. He was going to have to be part of the one who would take the gospel, one of the first ones to go to any of the Gentiles with it. God was going to use him to break new ground. And then, you know, he wouldn't be the instrument that ultimately would minister to the Gentiles from then on. But he was going to minister more to the Jews who were very stubbornly hanging on to their traditions. And eventually he was going to go off to where he wound up being crucified as well. Do you think this special moment was something Peter hung on to for all time that helped to encourage him through those tough times? Absolutely. How about John? Does anybody know anything about the Apostle John? What kind of things did he do for the gospel's sake? Wrote the book of Revelation. God used him in a powerful way. But I'm going to tell you something about John. Out of all those disciples, he was the only one that didn't die as, you know, in the act of martyrdom. But I'm going to tell you, they tried to kill him. Church history says that he was actually dipped into boiling oil. But it didn't kill him. So do you think this moment might have been something that he was hanging on to that he had seen Jesus in all his glory. That it would get him through those tough times because he would know Jesus is in all of his glory. How about this guy named James? Does anybody know anything about James? He was the first martyr of all of them. You see, each one of these men would play a significant role in the planting and the seed of the church. They all had a significant place in this. Not that the other ones didn't have significant places, but their role was going to be somewhat different, so God prepared them in a different way. You take special note of what God's doing in your life because he's preparing you for some special service in his kingdom. We don't all work the same job. We don't all do the same things. We don't all see the same people. We don't all study at the same time in the same way in the same place all the time. Guys, you all, I pray to God that you're studying the Bible every day in some way, shape, or form, but your study probably looks quite a bit different than mine. Praise God! Spend time with him. Let him speak to you. You hear something that comes from this pulpit? Check it out when you get home. Look it up. Have your time with Jesus because you're going to need it. You're going to have your own struggles. You're going to have your own trials. And God is going to use you in a special way in people's lives that I will never have an opportunity to minister to. You need to let him prepare you for his purpose in your life. You get alone with Jesus. You hear him. You spend time with him. And you also need to realize there's some other people out there that aren't going to understand your experience. But they may be able to understand our experience at the proper time. So they may not understand it until that proper time. We can't force everything that Jesus has shown us on another individual. We may share it with them at the proper time. But you see, even with these three guys, you look at what happens in Mark chapter 9, verse 9. Now as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they got to see the most amazing thing that any human eyes had ever seen. They got to see Jesus transfigured before them. They got to see Elijah and Moses show up. And somehow they knew who they were. Isn't that amazing? People say, well, we recognize each other in heaven? Absolutely. They recognized Elijah and Moses. And they'd never seen them before. They knew who they were. Some would say, well, it's because they overheard them talking. Well, they still recognize them. We're going to recognize each other. We're going to keep our identity in heaven. And in fact, we're going to be given a new name. We're going to have an identity in heaven. But I think even if Steve gets his new name, Jesus gives him that new name as he goes in, I'm still going to know you, Steve. And we're going to get to know each other even better because we're going to have forever. Isn't that going to be awesome? But here's the thing, guys. They're not all going to understand our experience just right now. So what we need to do is we need to understand. I went on this mission trip one time. It was about, 12 years ago. I went on a mission trip to Sri Lanka. And a lot of you probably don't even know where that country is, but it's off the southern tip of India. And I'm just going to tell you, things that I saw and things that I experienced on that trip changed my life. We went to another country, United Arab Emirates. It's a Muslim country. It's very restricted. We stopped there 2 days going, 2 days back. So we did some ministry there as well. And I'm just going to say, it changed my life. I got home, and I was really tired. It was a very taxing trip. We ministered the entire time, day and night, that we were there. We did catch some sleep here and there, but it wasn't ever real good sleep. So I was tired by the time I got home. It was the most amazing spiritual experience I've ever had in my life. And whenever I got home, people asked, so how was your trip? And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know what to say. And it was a natural question, and I don't blame them for asking the question. And I finally, after I kind of unpacked some of it, I would say it was good. But I'm going to tell you, they just didn't seem to do it justice. Because the things I experienced in that time built me up and changed me in such ways that I have never been the same. And I just didn't know how to explain. I'm going to tell you just a little hint. I saw somebody who was exorcised of a demon. How do you explain that one? How do you come home and say, I actually saw a demon-possessed person who we prayed over and laid hands on, and we prayed over them two nights until the demon finally left them? People are going to say, you're crazy. And I say, no, I'm not. I'm biblical. I've seen it happen. It totally changed the way that I look at a lot of things. And that was just one, like, little, you know, tidbit. Man, I saw the movement of God, and I saw the expression of demons in ways that I've just never seen before. I couldn't really totally explain what God had shown me just in a few words. But I have been able to explain it at later times with more meaning when people were ready. And you see, people weren't ready for what these guys had seen yet. Jesus wasn't ready for him to tell it yet either. But I'm going to tell you, if you read on there, you're going to see they were bursting at the seams. So they kept this word to themselves, verse 10, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, saying, why did the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Do you understand why they're asking that question? Because they just saw Elijah and they weren't supposed to tell anybody. But it's like, how do we not tell everybody? I mean, what about this Elijah guy? What do you mean he's got to come first? Because, don't tell anybody. We just saw him. You know what I'm saying? That's what's happening in their hearts. I'm going to tell you something, guys. Once you've had this amazing experience, and even just truly being saved and transformed, you won't be able to keep it to yourself long. That's why I question the American Christian church that 90% of the people in it or more have never shared their faith. Guys, we may need help in equipping us, but I'm going to tell you, whenever God's done big things for you, you're going to want to share it with somebody else. Let God do big things for you. Get real with Him. Get right with Him. Spend time with Him and let Him show you the power of God. Because once you've experienced the power of God, get sold out. Let Him show you. You will want to show others. God wants you to experience amazing things. I'm going to tell you guys, we're going to have an altar call time here in a minute. But before we do, I got something I want to share with you. I've been praying. Everybody says, yeah, okay. Been praying specifically. Okay? I've been praying specifically that God would be showing us what the plan is for this next year coming up. You know, I prayed last year, and it was like God was silent to me. And you know why? Because all our plans were going to be shut down, and everything was going to look different this 2020. But I can tell you, God is sharing more with me this year about what next year is going to look like, 2021. I've got boxes of outreach materials in my office. And God's going to open the door for us to individually, He's going to involve everybody in the church in this, to take those outreach materials to these neighbors. We're going to drop them off at their houses in this next year. And what do these outreach materials look like? It's a Jesus movie. It's a tract that talks about eternal life. And it's an invitation to come join our church. Just to join us for service or whatever. However God would have them to. And we're going to put them in bags and we're going to deliver them to our neighbors. You're going to deliver them to your neighbors. We're all going to do this. Because just one person can't reach this entire area, but we can. You're not going to have to know of any special answers to give unless God just really gives you that special answer if they ask you a question. You're going to have my phone number, and if they ask you a question that you can't answer, then you always have an out. You can sick them on me. And I probably won't have the answer either, but I'll do my best. But I want you to know that we're going to try to equip you so that next year you can be a part of that. I want you to do that. If you want some of those materials earlier, you come to me. I'll give them to you. I'm not stingy with them. You got a neighbor you want to reach? Then do it. Okay? It's a simple way just to give them access to the opportunity to ask their questions to somebody in the church. Do I get an amen to that? Did you ever have a question you wish you could ask somebody and you didn't know who to call? This is going to help them have a number that they can call. This is going to help them have an address of how to get here. This is going to help them know that we exist and that we love them and God loves them. Okay? Second thing. In so praying, and that's for next year, God gave me an answer for right now. And this is what He wants me to encourage you, to challenge you to do. It's a really simple thing. Really simple thing. Okay, is everybody up for a challenge? Okay. I want you to just reach out to one person or one family outside of your normal family context for the Christmas season and invite them to your house. You pray about who it is. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Just somebody who isn't part of your family context. Or you know, we'll even try to go a little bit outside the church family too, if we can, to somebody that's just a neighbor or somebody that you know of in your extended family that's a little disenfranchised and they need some love or just whatever. I'm going to tell you, one of the reasons why I was inspired to do this was Kelly's invitation to everybody for Thanksgiving. If she could give an open invitation to everybody in the county, I think that you and I can give an open invitation for one other person to come to a meal, or one other family to come to a meal at our house. Guys, if we look at the early church, it wasn't done through programs. It wasn't done through pastors only. It wasn't done just by one minister in one body. Believers, it wasn't done even by four or five. Everybody was reaching out to their neighbors, and that's how the church multiplied. If only one person does it, it's addition. What they were experiencing was multiplication. And it's because people were excited about what Jesus had done in their life, and they were inviting them to their homes, and they were practicing hospitality in some way, shape, or form, and God moved in their midst. So that's something you can do immediately. Pray for who that one person or that one family might be. Invite them to your home and show them the love of Jesus. I think that if we'll surrender to this, I think God will show us His power. So let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that we would be open to You showing us the power of God. That we'd be willing to do that one thing that maybe gets us out of the comfort zone. But that one thing right now for some may be just surrendering their hearts to You as Lord and Savior. Taking that first step of being born again. God, I'm going to say it. The night I got saved, the night I surrendered my heart to Jesus some 21 years ago, I did not expect what I found. I thought You were going to require things of me and this was just going to be a big drag and I was just going to be oppressed. But God, the moment I said, Jesus, be my Lord, forgive me of my sins. God, I don't want to be like that anymore. Make me a new person. What I found was the weight of the sin was lifted off of me and I was given true freedom. Freedom to follow You. Freedom to experience Your love like I'd never experienced before. And God, I'm going to say that was the first of many mountaintop experiences with You. And I'm never getting over it. Lord, I'm going to live forever with You, enjoying each one of those moments over and over and over again, knowing that they prepared me for what You have in store for me. God, thank You that You still have mountaintop moments ahead of me. Maybe I might find one of them when I just simply obey You with what my next step is. I may see the power of God. See You more clearly. See what You're like more clearly. And so, Lord, for whoever it is that may be feeling compelled to make that next step, take that next step with You, I pray that they'll know but this time of prayer may be a really important part of that. You're calling each one of us maybe to make a commitment. Help us to take it seriously. If you call us to come down to the front of the church and bow down at these steps and pray to you, God, that we would be willing to just do what you say. If you call us, Lord, to maybe make that commitment public, then we'll be willing to say, yes, Lord, any other answer is disobedience. So God, help us to obey you and to see the power of God unleashed. In Jesus' name, amen.